Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
Thursday, 2 hour lesson with Ted from 9 to 11. Great. Here, I'm here. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So today's August 13th, 1992. Yeah. And so the structure of this tune, of Exodus, a wonderful song by Ernest Gold.
Beautiful.
Great writing. Perfect melody for a set of changes. You can do it very straight, as we talked about before.
Or if you swing a little bit.
If you swing it, you can have jazz colorations. So it's a one minor to a, some kind of four with a major third. It can be major or it can be dominant. It won't be major seven, I don't think, but you never know. Then it's a whole step ascension. You get two chords into the one, which means translation by numbers is flat six, flat
seven, one. Right.
It's still a minor there.
Then it goes to.
Then it goes to the five minor.
Cool.
Then
can
it's
you talk to me about
flat
that sound?
Six. Say that again.
What was that sound?
Well, like
minor six.
When you hear this sound.
Minor triad.
Good.
That's with.
Which note adds a bleakness
major
sometimes
third.
When you add it just by itself to minor?
Major seventh.
That adds, that's a very good answer. That's fair, but it adds even more of a tragedy. Grief. It's beyond bleak.
The ninth?
The ninth, yeah. Ninth sounds bleak.
Yeah.
By itself is not a very happy sound.
Okay,
we've
gotcha.
Been fooled now. We've got
gotcha.
To make something clear. We've been fooled because of the dynamics of the tuning of the guitar. Most people don't call that a bleak sound. They think it's energized.
Yeah, I think it's real dark.
Yeah, it's got a lot of concomitant or simultaneous, that's the word, concurrent. Coexisting feelings within the thing. It can be dark if somebody's saying, ba-dee-da-da-da. As badly as that, yeah, that would be dark.
Could be like the slaves with the guys beating the drums. You know.
It could be everybody getting ready for Satriani to plug his heavy metal thing in.
Yeah.
Just a thing to create energy where it's not sad at all, it's just a spring.
Right.
It's darker. It seems like all the youth thing in this country got channeled into minor things in one large part. So, but going back when we did this thing in Exodus, if you're in B minor and you go to F sharp minor, you lean over and catch another flat three upstairs at that curved finger.
Gotcha.
Own flat six and flat seven, and then maybe I think it's a major right there. In fact, I know it is. I don't remember. It's
like a Picardy third.
Say it again.
Picardy third.
Picardy for the moment. Yeah. And you make it into a minor and a minor seven. The next chord will be heard as four of it.
Okay. Right.
So by going from a major third into a minor, minor seven, these lines are ready to do contrary motion. One of the best set of lines ever written, I think, is a song, the way he does.
Mm-hmm.
a minor, so that's a major, minor, minor seven, four major, four minor.
Four minor, oh man, what a...
And then back to the minor, like the same place you just started. Now, that was all in the key center of number-wise.
Number the five.
That's right. All of that's in the key of five. Then he goes down a whole step to the four. If you're a jazz head, minor seven. I like to go down a whole step from there to a major. You can go that or back to the tonic chord. We're going to hear a lot more tonic in the song, so I go down a whole step. One of the rare uses of D in the song, if not even the only one. But I come under
Instead of the
B minor again.
Because
we are hearing a lot of B minor.
Sure.
So we can hit its relative major from time to time. You try things like that and see if it sounds right to you. I found that this sounded exactly what I was missing in this part of the tune without getting into the weird extra chords or something. I just wanted stable chords. So like, I don't even need the 9 on that chord. Just minor 7. Some kind of D or D add 9 or whatever. Then I come up. So we went down from the 4 minor. Then we're going to come from under the 1 chord as in.
Is that sus chord of some
about sort? This is minor,
right.
5, flat 3.
Okay.
There's that 9.
9 again.
Here's from an A chord.
That's cool. That's real nice. That's
five.
Interesting.
Into 5.
And that we'll talk about that.
4 instead of 3. F sharp 4. Sharp 3, back to 1.
It's great.
Which thing is it? You say the suspension thing?
It reminded me of the stuff I was working on too with the voice switching.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're going to talk about those. Yeah. So then it goes back to 1. Mode, because I'm afraid of what mode has meant in our culture for decades. It's the sad things. I used to love to use the word modal. I was always saying modal this. And
really?
Modal.
You don't play like in Phrygian mode or Doric
mode? Sure, I
do.
Yeah. But they're not modes. That's the only problem. I had to give up the word modal, because mode, we define here this close to the freeway as a two-word thing. It means displaced scale. If you take a scale and you bump it so that you're starting on a different note,
right,
you're playing a so-called mode of it. But when we play, this song is mainly an Aeolian and Dorian tune.
Right.
It just reeks of both in the best sense of the term.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out as a Dorian thing by...
Right.
Let's just be fair and be factual as best I can. If it started Aeolian, it wouldn't have lived this way.
No.
Sad for people. Right. They wouldn't have bought into it as much, but it sounds cheerful enough that they could go for it. It catches your interest. So that is an independent thing. The last thing on earth that we hear, emotionally especially, I'm not talking just auditorily, but
right,
that we hear and feel emotionally is the key of A. We're not even thinking key of A.
No way.
Yet the books would tell us that we're in the second mode of key of A.
That we're, I think, in A major.
Yeah, that we're, this is
well,
the mode of A.
Why do you relate it? Why can't we just relate it? Hey, that's Dorian mode. Forget A.
No, but not mode. Dorian tonality.
Oh,
because mode means
yes.
Another scale of another key.
That's what... Well, no, I wasn't meaning that. I was meaning just Dorian. Say
yeah,
Dorian
then we,
sound.
Then the problem is we have to give up that luscious-sounding word, modal. I like the way the word sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty modal.
Right.
But I just
Miles,
have to give
yes,
it up.
Models.
I just, yeah, exactly. So, hey, the periods of jazz, swing, blah, 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 modal jazz. I mean, I did like remove that term. So I started calling these things tonal. I said somewhere along the line, I said, if you're in the key of B, for instance, and you're playing... You're playing music from Chicago or Detroit in
right.
60. It's that kind of flavor of tonality. If you play... different major key back, more lighthearted. You're out in the suburbs of those cities. If you do
downtown, right?
key, but what a different shading.
Right.
So I just started giving all those things names, using the old names too, meaning like if it's Mixolydian, if it goes... That's Mixolydian, but not because it's a mode. Because if it is a mode, then we're really in E to play B Mixolydian.
So you're the whole thing is you're not trying to associate with E.
Not associating with any other key than the one I'm hearing, because last time I checked, I felt that wasn't.
I agree. You know, I mean, call an animal an animal.
Seems like it.
Don't call an animal a tree.
Especially then, it would be also, it would bother me the arrogance of assuming that the major was more important than these things that, when you check with human beings, most of them actually prefer.
Right.
They just love that compared to. I love all of it. I'm a real fan of the major scale, or Ionian. I swear, more people like that darker stuff. They just love minor.
Sure.
They're hungry for Aeolian still.
Right.
And they don't know that they're hungry for Dorian until you give them some nice Dorian every now and then. You hit somebody.
Did you read
they'd love it.
The new extra issue? That,
it's a great magazine.
Is it? I just bought a copy.
I mean, it's always great.
Is it?
Eric on the cover?
They did not have.
Maybe it's our brand new one.
New one. Maybe Eric's on the cover, but Alan Hallsworth, they interviewed.
He
seems like a very interesting guy.
Exciting guy. His playing is exciting.
It's interesting his concept of how he studied guitar.
Violin and Coltrane, right?
That, but his theory.
Well, which was?
Just the opposite of what you did, I think, in some ways.
Go ahead.
He said what he did was he built everything off scales, and he took... You know, 12 semitones, it's finite, use mathematics, and just started dividing everything up and categorizing them. And then just built scales upon scales to, you know, go in the opposite sort of.
Instead of from chords,
from chords, distilling them down to scales, he was going the opposite.
Wow.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. That's been done before, too, by the way. There's a physicist that tried to do it that way. It works. I flirted with it myself, but I don't think if I flirted with it for 20,000 years, I would come up with what he came up with. Because his way of hearing is so different. His hands are so beautiful. He's got these amazing, large, large fingers. You know?
Technique, very technique.
Oh, man.
Technique is good.
And he's a perfectionist, too, so he's worked hard.
Man. Great stuff.
He's a singular cat. I would say someday he'll go down as one of the few innovators in the century on guitar. There's only been a handful, and he's one of them.
I heard a tune of John Scofield that I like, too.
He's a great player.
He's good.
He's a fine guitar player.
I wanted to...
All those young guys that have gotten a reputation don't come by it undeserved. Matheny's great at
right
times.
I agree.
Scott Henderson is... I'm knocked over by Scott Henderson all the time. Whenever I hear anything about him, he's so great. Can't believe that.
Most of those guys seem really cool, too.
Mike Stern, all those guys.
Yeah. Wow.
I heard something by Bill Frisell the other day off of the...
I never heard him.
I had heard him once on TV, and it was first was boring, and then it was exciting. It went from one extreme to the other, and then he does this version of Days of Wine and Roses that's pretty amazing. You'd like to hear it with this heavy delay.
He's into that, yeah. 7 seconds, I read about it, like... Schofield was talking about it.
I read that joint interview with them. It's pretty interesting. And when you after you hear Wine and Roses, you can see why Schofield and other young guys would admire him because he doesn't sound like anybody else.
Different. That's what they're saying. He uses different sonorities, more harmonic cat or.
He definitely likes sounds. He's after sounds.
Right.
I think he's the kind of guy I could sit with and we'd have fun because I could say, what about. He'd say, well, you can do that while I go. You know, I mean, one of those guys just likes to find sound.
Check this
you
out.
You too, Mark. I mean, you'd have a good time.
Another experience, Ted, that I got to lay on.
Let's just finish Exodus.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Do it. No,
yeah.
That's somehow we got off.
Yeah.
So it's because you said the word modal. So we just treat them all as autonomous things. Sounds of antiquity are the sounds of today. It's a question of the way we plan. They became the sounds of the 60s when this thing, which we hear it in older films and stuff, all they did was add the rock rhythm, you know?
Right. We got it.
I mean, it's
sounds like all that music. I'm your fire.
So, a lot of it's how you bring the attitude to it. If you don't bring 20th century chords back with you, you bring the old chords and scale types and play them without all the energy and arc century of this country, you're going to get the old sound.
Right.
They are all equal members of the tribe, okay? Phrygian too. Phrygians.
How do you recommend I improvise in those
improvise?
Things?
You mean single string work?
No, no. I mean, when I improvise with progressions and, you know, solo guitar stuff.
Okay. First thing is to harmonize all the basic triads up and down the scale over pedal tones so it sounds instantly more magnetic. It's... You have to be absolutely in love with the stuff to live without the bass for a while. I can do it. I did for years. I flirted with it. But I didn't know how much I was missing until I started saying, wow, what if you just hold the bass?
With a pedal?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Either the one or the five. And I started liking the sound so much more. I just felt the richness that I'd been longing for. You can do it with the second inversion, the root position, or first inversion, whatever you like.
I wanted to, yeah, I asked you.
Back in Aeolia.
If you had a reference, like a triad type reference page or a...
Triad reference here means...
Meaning like open and closed with inversion page that I could use, because I, with this voice switching, getting into diatonic studies, I was thinking, God, I want to do this with triads too.
The end of Exodus.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem. I'll give you that. Yeah. So after it goes to the four, five major again, it makes it minor, minor seven, four of itself. Four minor of itself. Itself. That's four minor.
Four minor. Five. Flat.
That's six. It's a major.
Seven.
That's a major. One of those is a major. For real, with Lydian.
Okay.
Flat 7 is really dominant family if you try to extend it. It's, you won't, this one's not right to be on in this particular setting. Then it goes to its own 5 minor again. This is clever. He goes, how to voice it for you.
Is this the B section you're talking about?
This is
about?
The M. This yeah, the whole last, tag.
Right. Where he goes, he's going 1
C
to 5
section.
Minor.
It's an A, B, A, C section.
Yeah, C. 1 minor to 5 minor.
That's right. So he's going...
Right.
He's got a major to a minor real quick. I didn't do it right. There it is. Minor six on
That's
the one
cool.
chord.
Yeah.
Treating it as suddenly a four. And what key
okay.
would B minor six be the four of?
E.
Say it again now. B minor six.
B minor six, four of F sharp.
There it is. So we go.
B, that's a B5. Yeah.
It was a B5.
Right.
Very good. I thickened it up by doubling the melody. You can always double a melody according to personal taste.
Okay.
Not the blower, that is. Yeah, so suddenly he's ended in the key of five.
Wow.
The only song I know that ends on the five chord and it feels like it's over and it's in, actually feels like the new key.
It doesn't.
Enters the new key and that is the last thing you hear.
It feels like it's over to me, but I don't know whether it ever got resolved.
This is true.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So at the end you're going, say B flat minor. You'll love Eddie Harris's version of it.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Live there.
modulate each other.
I keep going down a half step to make it increasingly rich every time. It's an old gambler's trick.
An old what?
God.
Gambler's trick. Yeah. Going down.
Go down a half
teach
step.
Teach me those tricks, Dad. Those are cool.
If you keep modulating down a half step,
you could do it chromatically.
For one thing is you hear a sound you don't usually hear in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Only one composer I know, two composers, favored this sound ever. And I mean favored,
mm-hmm.
like use it a lot. And the thing is, most everybody goes the other way when they do half steps and goes up. Plus, the bonus of being just flat out increased richness as you go down. There are difficulties in some keys. You get too dark.
Mm-hmm.
Certain voices, but generally, the lower you go, within reason, the richer it gets. So, if you all have always heard Days of Wine and Roses in F, does that sound right? Like you played it in F?
I can't remember the tune.
Oh, okay. Say Misty in E flat.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's that Rainy Day in G.
G, sure.
Okay, so one day you're playing along and you play it in E and you go.
That's much different. Yeah, it's a different feel, different
flavor.
Flavor,
it's dark.
Sure.
So now it's go real dark.
I'm sorry. I got a question about this written down, by the way.
Now we're up way high above the other. That's the bonus with this song. If you go real low, you can go real high. Anyway, it's completely different than.
Agreed. Agreed. In fact, you know, I pretty much live a whole step down now.
No, you love that low.
I love it, but.
It's too low sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And my question is, and also I'm thinking, God, you know, start maybe to play with people.
Don't do the whole step unless you're comfortable. When you're ready to bring it out, then.
I love it. That's all I want to do, but right now. But should I learn a lot of the tunes immediately? It takes all my tunes and throws them down a whole step.
Well, you knew you were going to have to play another key sometime. So
no, I understand.
The day of reckoning
that.
Is arrived.
Evidently, but I was like thinking. You know, if I went to a gig, man, I guess I would have to transpose everything.
You just become Tom Scott. You're a tenor player.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a B-flat tenor.
That's how I look at it.
They have to do.
Transpose everything, huh?
They have to go a whole step. You are a B-flat tenor guitar.
That's what's happening.
But not tenor guitar.
But should I learn? Should I just sort of say, okay, here's that Rainy Day in G. I'm playing it that way, you know, but why don't I try and learn it in A, too?
Well, you're going to have to if you're going to take that thing out of the gig and play with the veterans only or willing to play one key.
Right.
Unless you can convince them through your diplomatic
know. Can you transpose, man?
You know, Lenny used to do it. They respected him so much.
Uh-huh.
When he first came to L.A. for his return visit in 78, he was over at my house. The guy brought him over, and we had a great time. And mainly, I just watched him play around on my guitars. And I may have told you the story. He took it to the gig. I said, go ahead and use it tonight.
What are you telling?
Yeah, and it was tuned down a whole step. And he says, yeah, I really
love
like
the sound.
Tell it. Yeah. He said, why don't you play it on the gig? It'd be fun to hear you play a whole step down. He says, yeah, maybe I'll do. Sure enough, for the first set, he did it. And the bass player just had to transpose. But the bass player was a great musician. He
granted,
could do it.
I want to play the tune in all keys. I'm not going to use it to do artificially, to use that as a cop-out. But what I'm doing is saying, hey, man, because you love us so much, just beware. Don't get caught short. That, you know, here you're happy and you think you got this tune wired, you know, and you're jamming, and then you go to the gig and you go, oh, fuck. And now you got heavy gauge strings on, and you either tune up and your hands die, or you stay down and suffer. So I just brought that up as a point that I better, you know, understand that that's a situation. I got another thing I want to relate to.
Okay.
Real quick. Last Friday night, I was practicing about like 10:30, 10:45.
Okay.
And I'm practicing and I hear a knock on my door. I go,
do you have neighbors that might have heard it?
Well, yeah, I'm going, am I playing that loud? No, not really. I go and I open the door. There's this older couple. The guy goes, you know Ted Green? I go,
sincerely?
Yes, I'm not kidding.
What
he's saying
your
name.
You live in?
Played all right. Now, dig this. This
is
old guy.
So far, too weird.
Yeah, he's gone, Ted, because he heard me play. And he goes, Ted Green, you must know Ted Green. I go, I've known Ted for a long time.
That's true.
And I'm studying.
20 years,
yeah. How much?
20 years.
73, 71.
Oh, really? Okay, so almost 20.
20. But somewhere I go, yeah, I've just recently gotten back to studying with him. I go, wait, how'd you, out of the blue, this guy, you know, off of Mars.
Was that the first thing he said? He didn't introduce himself?
No.
Hi, he's sorry
going,
to bother you. I hope you're not.
He's gone, Ted Green.
You
sound like.
Malone. I mean, it's like from an old movie.
Yeah.
You know Frank Malone?
I go, whoa. It turns out.
That is really.
Yeah, hear me, I was playing like chord melody stuff. And I considered that a compliment, you know, of course. And he goes, it turns out he was best friends with Bill Thrasher. He's from Santa Barbara. And my landlord's daughter is married to this guy.
Yes.
And he was great friends, I guess, with Bill up in Santa Barbara. Did you know Bill Thrasher?
No, I never met him, but I know who he was.
Okay, that's what I said. He goes, I knew Bill Thrasher. I'm best friends with Bill Thrasher. And I go, well, I remember he added a Joe Pass book. And
yes, that's right. That's really right.
That's where I knew that name from. And I go, oh, okay, and I guess he passed away just recently, or a couple years ago.
Yeah, some time ago. Huh?
And I go, but I still didn't connect why he got your name.
He didn't mention it, huh?
No, yeah, he said, Bill gave him a tape of your record.
Oh, I see.
But that's, then.
That means that you're playing, and the tune down telly.
Must have been.
Because, you know, I play down a minor third or a half step.
Yeah.
So you're right in between both.
Somehow he related that, you know, that.
I can see it.
You probably
were getting that same cool, fat, deep sound.
Real deep.
And playing some of those kind of tunes.
Right.
Putting some vibrato in. The guy's, shit,
I remember
West
that
Montgomery.
Tape.
Who sounds like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right. Right. So. Anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting. We had a very good talk.
Nice guy, huh?
Super. He's a, you know, retiring teacher, loves jazz and piano, and loves jazz guitar.
It's good of his ears to notice differences in the styles.
Very
you know?
Much so, especially, you know, I guess he probably listened to your tape a lot.
So, in the SM, his wife was there with him, mm-hmm. too, and she liked music also?
Yeah.
They're both in their 60s, maybe?
Late 50s, 60s.
And you live in a condo town?
No, it's all like apartment. I'm in the very back, no one above me or below me. I'm in a nice area, but see, I'm over the parking carport.
So they can hear you in the parking
lot? Yeah, when
they
come
in their park.
They could hear me.
But generally, they cannot hear you.
Right.
That's an ideal thing.
It's
I
cool.
almost moved into a house, apartment, over a parking
lot.
Same
cool.
as you figuring that.
The guy said, the guy goes, God, you know, I've been here 10 times in the last 6 months. Every time I hear you play, and I decide to come up and say hello.
That's
and
very
I,
sweet.
It was beautiful.
This was on a Friday night.
Friday night,
that's
10:45.
Good guy.
I said, great, man. And we talk, oh, God, great.
So he lives near you?
He lives in Santa Barbara, but his
temporary.
Wife's
oh, okay, yeah.
landlord lives.
That's right. That's what you said.
Anyway, I wanted to share that with
that's
you.
That's a nice story. Thank
you. Man, should I? Can I go over a couple
sure,
things?
Sure, sure, please. Well, please, let's just run with it. Road maps, walking cords. You know, I'm going to check you on that.
Good, yeah, let's do that. I mean, I did do some campfire. You want to talk campfire?
Yeah, let's talk campfire. Which tune, Ain't?
Yeah, I didn't do as much work as I'd like to. Although, I've been walking lately.
Yes?
And I've been doing and campfire talking. Going
out
one,
loud, huh?
six, two, five,
in case
five minor, one, seven, four, four minor,
yes,
one, six, two, five, bridge.
No, let's turn around.
Oh, there, three,
it's
six,
yet
two,
another,
three,
yet
six,
another,
two, five.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's the A second.
That's the first with the first ending. Now, what about second ending?
I haven't gotten that precise. Okay. I got to get that precise.
1-4-7-3 is mm-hmm. the beginning of the cycle of fours. Do you find this to be in there?
1-4-7-3, yes, of course.
Okay. that's one fast way that appears is going to be your way. Mm-hmm. Another way to look at that is 1-4 and then 2-5 of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Same answer either way. Same results. So the bridge is in the key of?
I put it in the relationship, which is probably not good, in relationship to the home key.
Good. Oh, the home key.
Which is like in the key of C.
So you called it 6-4-2.
Let's see, 6-4-2.
Okay.
It's minor, but I said again.
Impossible. I just hear it in a minor key.
In
it sounds
six.
Like if Ray is singing a song, it just sounds like he's changed his flavor. He's been in the lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of light harmony. Fats Waller's a happy, very jovial man. What a wonder! I'm reading this book. I highly recommend this, by the way, for about $10.
We call that music great.
It's all about how these jazz guys live. This guy stayed up for days on end. They're crazy. Fats Waller.
Where'd you pick that up?
A store called Book Star.
That's
a huge bookstore that opened out here, and they may have another branch.
Okay.
Nice stock, man.
Of music stuff?
Oh, God. I was in big trouble.
Where?
I've spent $200 twice in there.
Where?
Victory Boulevard, fairly close to Topanga.
Okay.
If you're coming towards
into the malls.
You'll see it. I mean, there's all the stuff in the theaters.
I'm going to be out there tomorrow night.
It is a scary bookstore.
Uh-oh.
You're going to drop some money in there.
Uh-oh.
They have a nice... Not only is there a music session happening, you go and you go, wow, nice session, man. You're ready to go, and then you look over, and there's another one.
Right.
It's a different style of music. Then you go, good thing I'm out of here now.
Yeah.
You turn around, there's another bookcase behind you of all music.
Honey, take my Visa.
It's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's cut it up, man.
So the bridge, you think going to the 6 minor as a 1?
I do. Now, you don't have to. Your way is not unsensible. I do hear it as being a darker...
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do too. I do too. Okay, so you hear it going...
To a minor tonality.
Okay,
one
to the flat 6.
Yeah, I really do hear it that way.
I'm starting to think this way. That's good.
Down another minor third leads you to the 4. That other blue. In minor, those are the two blue dominants, flat 6 and 4.
Right.
And then to itself again, but as a dominant. I used to try thinking up a fifth that's...
Right.
Space. Flat 6, 4, first quarter of the bridge, but a dominant. Down the whole step through what they taught you in school as elision.
I remember that.
Elision means when you leave out a chord. So instead of going
2, 5, 1,
right. You just go 2-1.
I like elisions.
Me too.
You're cool.
So we just go down a whole step.
Okay.
So we get to go.
My teacher probably said elisions are uncool, but I dig them.
Some kind of 1-6-2-5. Now, when you hit this chord again, it's now the 5 of home again.
Okay.
From here on in, we just did an elision that went down a whole step
mm-hmm.
a moment before. Now we get to go up a whole step. That's the 6.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you don't remember that's 6, you just go up a whole step and begin the speed of cuff cycle
mm-hmm.
in force. You're on A,
right.
D, G. We'll be 6-2-5. It's
mm-hmm.
not 3-6-2-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's the key of 5 became the 5-7 chord going to the 6-7.
Right.
2-5.
Right, okay.
Back.
So I'm,
5-7-4, 5-7-1.
I need to work more on it. I am attacking it. I am looking at it. Here's
it's
another
manageable.
One.
It really is.
It
as
is.
You're determined like you are.
I know it's
manageable.
Doable. The problem is a couple things.
Tougher songs.
Is I see the value, incredible value.
However,
sometimes it borders on either boring or I laugh so fucking hard.
Because
it's cracking me up, just doing the campfire thing. I mock, and I like you say, yep it up. Sometimes it's either like I don't want to do this is a drag.
Well, don't do campfire then. You know what? Mm. Be uptown. Put the dark glasses on.
Right.
But just don't
do
feel
stock.
That you have to invent new profound ways
right.
to live on the guitar. Just mm-hmm. say basic hip. average jazz guitar right. voice, and it still sound reasonable.
I need to get the, you're right, the framework of the tune.
But this will still give you, yeah. I'm doing the campfire, I'm just okay. voicing it better. I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see if I got some notes on that. Ain't Misbehaving, that campfire edition. Let's see, here's one. You might know it. Okay, should I just sort of test?
Sure.
Let's see. Goes. 6 minor to 2 major, 6 minor, flat 6, dominant.
What song is this?
Loverman. Does that sound right? 6, 2, 6, 6 dominant
is a nice sub for the 2. I never thought of that. That's
a flat 6 with an augmented 11.
Sure, it can lead you into the 2 chord.
And then it goes 2, 5, 2, flat 2.
Yep, that can do it too. Good time. Then 1, what?
Then 1 dominant, 4 dominant? Or
1 dominant with a blue tone. You got to be real careful because if you try to play straight extensions there, it'll screw it all up. It's 1 dominant with the visitor that turns the minor note into a blue fade.
Minor
which
note.
Means
that's a 2.
It's the fact that it's a 1 with a major third in it turns this 1 minor note into a raised nine. It changes the way we hear that note. If you play this, it sounds minor.
Yeah.
If you put this note in there,
sharp 9.
Yeah, we hear it as a raised nine.
Yeah.
So that is the chord when it goes.
Yeah.
If you try to play, actually, you can still do it anyway. Billy can sing the blue notes, any good singer can sing the blue notes, it won't be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, if you don't want to clash natural 9 against sharp 9, you cause
right.
the accent pieces to come out too soon.
That is it. I'm trying to do that with most tunes, and as I say, usually I've been waiting by the end of the evening to do some of the stuff. Most of that time I don't want to do it, so I got to maybe change that, you know, the campfire stuff.
I would say do a little each day. Don't do too much to where you resent it. Do it. A good time to do this is at a time when you won't resent the loss of time you're going to give to it.
Right.
Like, for instance, when I go in the bathroom to have a sit-down sometimes, if I know, if I can feel that it's okay to be sitting there for a few minutes, I'm going to actually read something.
Right.
Sometimes, I really have taken the stock.
Be productive.
Yeah, so same thing goes for shaving. If you're a slow shaver, your brain might get a whole song done.
So like driving to work, I'll listen to lesson tape, and I'll catalog it, and I write it down.
That's great.
I have another small little tape recorder, and I go, Ted's talking about augmented 11ths here. I write all that down, then I tape it, and then when I'm done with the tape, then I catalog it.
You label the tape later?
Yeah.
I get it. That's interesting.
Yeah, I have a note here. You said on the tape to do tedious work away from the guitar, i.e. walking. What do you mean by that? Is that what you're just talking about?
You mean what do I classify as tedious?
What do you do? Give me an example. Like
just what you're doing,
right.
Yeah, well, for instance, let's say that you say, I want to be Mr. V6.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't seem to have the fortitude to do everything else and be Mr. V6.
Right.
So, away from the guitar, on Sundays only, let's say. It might take you a year to become even acquainted with the idea of what a Mr. V6 would be.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to put the hat on. People are seeing the hat. What's that hat Mark's wearing?
Yeah.
It's the little V6 is starting to appear. You visualize it away from the axe for a few minutes every day.
That's great stuff.
Visualizing
the board is good. Huh?
Oh, God, because once your hands can play it, it's just remembering where everything is. If you say F7, because I'm not saying anything that's that remarkable. I have worked on F7.
Right.
I've worked on a lot of chords, you know. So if you say V1, V2, V3, I better know what these things are.
Right.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason why you, in a short period of time, can't become, say, just I'm using V6 as an example, Mr. V6. Or V5.
I don't know how those are defined.
Well, let's go back to V5. I think you're really
yes, V5, I know that. They're beautiful.
So you become Mr. V5. Say, man.
I'm getting to V1 now, too.
Like, here's the cycle of ascending minor thirds with dominant sevens. F7, A flat 7, B7, D7.
Right. That's good.
Each one can have a springboard off to its own five minor at any moment.
Right.
I want to put the C minor. Here's the A flat 7.
Can you give me more exercises like that?
Sure.
Like progress.
Thousands of them.
Progressions. I need more progressions. Especially 2-5 colors.
2-5 colors.
Different colors. I have sometimes a hard time trying to put something together with these inversions, although I'm starting to get better with them. You know, I've done like half diminished 2 to a flat 9. Dominant is so close.
Yeah, good.
You know?
In fact, flat 9 sus.
Flat 9 sus is way cool.
Except.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then, so, you know, I'm really getting tight with, like, you know, the flat 9 sharp 5, like adding a 7-11 to going to, you know, sharp, flat 9 sharp 5, get real nice chromatic type lines going to the 1.
7-11-2.
Mm-hmm.
7-11, now that's at all.
Or an, even a 9, a major 9.
On 2?
A minor 9, excuse me, a minor 9. Right.
Talking about that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worthy of respect.
Right? I'll dig it. I've noticed that I like the minor 9 there. But I'd love to get, you know, really hit that 2-5-1 hard on all this stuff. I need.
We already do know.
I'm going a lot of that, but I would like. What else is there? I know there's a million things.
Well, let's take each one. It's not about the minors so much.
I want to do some dominant.
It's about the dominant sounds in the middle of it that flavor it the most.
Mm-hmm.
The minors are all monochromatic with slightly darker tint or
right.
lighter tint. But the dominants really change color. Mm-hmm. The difference between a 13 sharp 9 and, say, a 7-6 without without the 9 are really far away. This is...
Right.
And this is...
Right. A little
so,
different.
I mean, we have to count it. That's real different than the difference between, mm-hmm. say, this.
Mm-hmm.
All those fellows are living in very much the same room.
Right.
Very much similar.
So
I think your goal is to say, which dominants have you found that you love? Mm-hmm. Let me do a quick survey and find out. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The seventh chord itself, can you use it as a 5? And if so, how did you manage that?
Just the straight seventh chord.
Yeah, in jazz. Have you been able to use it as a 5?
In jazz. I don't use it that much.
Mm-hmm. I find
four,
I
do.
The only way I can manage it, four, now that's another baby.
Another story. Yeah. Sounds way cool.
Down into the lower parts of New York to Mr. Gershwin's house.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
If you play this.
Uh-huh.
This doesn't sound unmelodic.
Now you're doing 2-5s, or you're doing
2-5.
Yeah,
mixing.
I love
that. West mixes that together.
Okay.
No, I just use sevens. Now, I didn't say bring in the 9-13 for that, because generally jazz does live above the 7. But
mm-hmm.
there are plenty of exceptions to almost any musical rule you can.
Right. Make. Give me some exercise in that. That's a great one.
This is it, man. Mix up your 2 and 5.
Just straight.
Use the top line to be your main guide as to what to play next.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, I voice led my 5 into my 2 ascending,
mm-hmm.
and the opposite produced the same 2 chords,
mm-hmm.
starting from the 2 minor and going to the 5 7. You say, but the melody didn't change. So
right.
somebody says, we'll pay you to figure out a solution. And then she said, well, I put the soprano up just to see what it would sound like and found out it was just a minor 9 chord, and that worked too.
Right.
Say, but I wanted to keep it down to minor 7s at first. You say, well, I guess I had to break the rule, didn't I, to get a better melody. If musical rules are
true. I'm aware of this. In fact, I have said...
Tons of details.
And my practice schedule going, you love this so much, why don't you just do 2-5s of that and think of it as one sound? That's, you know, I mean, mentally, think of just one sound.
To me, there are only 2 composers I think of... Take it back, 3 or 4, but 2 main prominent figures that you and I have discussed
mm-hmm.
before that do this sound. That's either Debussy or Wes Montgomery.
Right.
it's Wes plays the, you know, jazz feeling, and Claude doesn't. That's mm-hmm. all.
Claude does like harp and flute.
Yeah,
it's great stuff, and I love that stuff. But I was just thinking some other
change the texture sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Texture is so important, and we all often forget yep. to make these things mm-hmm. exciting just by doing mm-hmm. the texture, just mm-hmm. changing which strings we play when.
Right.
Add melodies inside of texture.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the two chord. Here's the five.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the ninth or the seventh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm a big fan of changing keys.
Yes. That's cool. Okay, what key should I pick?
I love the descending minor thirds.
Descending minor
forever. Also, ascending major.
Major thirds. Oh, I noticed that in all your studies. Go either way on those. That's what I did with belts. I'm practicing with belts. Three keys, belts a day. In major thirds. So it'd be like G, B, E flat. It would be like belt.
Belt, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Great belt. I was just in it. Here it is.
Uh-huh. And so, like, when I'm practicing my inversions, I will just randomly go to one of those keys. I can't, I have tried, if I take V2, 4, and 5 and do my study,
right.
my studies, it will take 3 hours, or 2.5, 3 hours if I do those all three keys. So what I do is I try and randomly pick the keys.
The only thing you can do with those studies is keep a fierce determination to figure out which stuff you love, which stuff you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best you can hope for with that, given your dedication.
Right.
If I didn't have the dedication, I wouldn't be talking about that without throwing in dedication.
Right.
Over and over. The guy has to sit with it. You're willing to sit.
Oh, yeah.
But Mark, there's going to be, it's going to go geometrically out here. And 5 years from now, you're going to know 20 million more things to practice than you already
know. I already know that I'm already feeling overwhelmed.
It'll never get better. It gets geometrically, exponentially worse. So all you can do is come in and say, let me find the thing in this study that I love the most, and
mm-hmm.
own that. I mean it. That may sound trite.
No,
but it's
no.
the truth. You got to let a lot of little stuff go, unless you love it. If you love it, work hard on it. I love this sound. So I have sat more with a jazz hat. It's only...
Mm-hmm.
at times I've done it the gentle way, but when you sit and you go, and you're playing jazz feeling,
mm-hmm.
say, let's put it in B flat, it's such a jazzer's game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
right.
gonna play B flat 7, but it's now 1, okay?
Okay.
This is a cool West way to do
right.
it. And you go. Now right away, if
right.
I went,
right.
that sounds like a 7th chord. West phrases like to see,
mm-hmm.
you hear the,
yes.
so you
yes.
hear a little raised 9
yep.
helping
yep.
it out.
Yep.
Dig it, stay with me. I know
okay.
you got other things.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put in 2 F minor 7s. The one that's below and the
yep.
one that's above.
Yep.
I'm gonna do the same on this B flat 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now if I'm Wes, I say maybe I'll throw a 13 in
right.
on that last chord. He likes that sound, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not. Let's go back to this. Let's do the same thing here if we go. Thing is, the melody went. Remember, I said
mm-hmm.
we have to change melody sometimes.
Sure.
To make a word, so now we have.
To make
we just
it
had
feel
to make
good.
A minor 9 instead of a minor 7. But we're still going. Pardon me, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So we went. I have a paper written out with all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I think you could do it just a little
bit. I'm hitting
chord
that
right
a lot.
Now.
I'm starting to hit that a lot.
So,
and again, the thinking of. With inversions of the companion minor.
Yeah, think of it two ways. In the key as the 5 and the 2 minor.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely reverse it, because you can always think 2-5. That would be second
right.
nature to you at this moment.
Right.
But you're not as used to going 5 backwards to 2.
Right.
So do that. Say I'm on a 5,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to go back to its own 2.
Mm-hmm.
Retrograde motion.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher say it's acceptable now and then. Mark and take. How about like a lot of often, like every day? You know, we want a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yep. So you do the retrograde motion. The other thing is to call it a 1. I'm just saying it. I'm repeating myself
yes.
in summary. If it's a 1, then the F minor is its 5 minor.
tell me, it's when I'm thinking that in those terms, the one feels a lot cooler than doing that on the four. Am I correct in saying that?
Let's try it.
I like it. Well, maybe not.
I think the five is the weak six.
Is that, yeah, the weak five.
Five, you gotta go and do a Wes Hipness instead.
Mm-hmm. Five is the guy, that's what I mean. Come on.
Put some other cool changes.
Right.
Exercise your brain and write a different thing for bar 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm. Of the stock blues.
Do not play five mm-hmm. and four.
Right.
Play something totally.
Where can we go with it?
I've forgotten every option. You'll have to help me out. There are so many things a person
four,
can do.
Four minor, flat,
seven, I'll say I'd four, pay a few things.
Six.
Remind yourself that you don't get arrested in this country if you go down a whole step sometime.
Mm.
So here we are. So you come up to the four.
Okay.
Here's your one.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to be on the five.
Right. Flat seven's cool. Right.
Made like a 2-5-1 begin on that.
What about going 2-7 half diminished, 3 dominant, minor 6?
Well, let's try it. It's a sensible set of changes. Yeah. Let's see if it fits
just
in that place. Usually that comes in early parts of the tune or mm-hmm. in the middle.
Right.
So let's hear. We come out of.
I can hear it now.
Yeah. You know what? If you go.
Right, keep moving it.
You right. can have a nice little unusual right. piece. It's right. like this cat started for the first half in the blues and then he went off and became Charlie Parker. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think anything that you hear is musical for the second half qualifies you for honorary no cost vacation in Indianapolis to visit Wes's widow, man. Because
man,
that was his thing.
Like. Dig
to change the blues in bar 9
cool.
and 10 quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah,
bar 9 and 10.
We'd love to do that.
One, okay.
That means where the 5 would arrive.
So before bars 1, 4 bars of...
Before the 5.
Okay.
Instead of the 5, pardon
right.
me. Instead of the 5. So mm-hmm. he waits. He doesn't usually give you 4 in bar 2.
Mm-hmm.
He waits till bar 4. Gives
right.
Bar 5, pardon me. Then you get the coolness. Might be starting early, or
mm-hmm.
might wait till the next bar.
And it gives it when he moves to the four that much strength.
I think so. It makes you hungrier for the
mm-hmm.
chord. If the tempo's slower, he might change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But often as not, he doesn't. He still lingers.
Right. That's great. I know that too. Heard that
there's again. One tune of his that does that kind of
I
thing.
I started working on I didn't
Midnight Mood or something.
I spent one night oh man, I told myself I was gonna do it was Moving West.
Oh.
I heard you play on the tape because that's cool. And I have a CD and I
maybe it wasn't though, I don't know Moving West.
That's,
oh yeah, that is Moving West. Yeah.
Right. I have a transcription of a solo and stuff. I was saying, I should cop this. I should really spend some time and cop this. But,
that is such a terrific record. That whole
sexy.
Album, Moving West. The brass. Who would have thought it would work so well?
I have
an artist here.
So tell me. Yeah, I love him, man. He is like deep.
He really is a pitching player.
I find him vacillating. Him, I could relate to a lot. Some of the, you know, like the Ray Charles and the R&B, sort of that world.
Yeah, he loves that
really
rock thing. He brings it in.
Get really deep and swinging like that. So tell me when you practiced, how you dealt with these things. Like, as I said,
still dealing with them.
You know, like, unfortunately, and I'm planning. Hopefully in the future, if I come to grips with it personally, trying to get more time as far as the work thing, but literally I come home at 6 and I'll play till midnight or 1 and I literally feel just the one exercise will take 3 hours and I'm going, How do I work with this? How do I resolve
it? It is pretty tough sometimes. I can say that if you're feeling that frustrated with one exercise, you have to look at maybe the possibility that that was just the incipient stage where you were learning to work it out, and maybe the next night it would only take you an hour and a half. Maybe the next night it'd be down to 40 minutes. But if it's a constant,
It's not frustration, not necessarily. It's just understanding that, gee, what happens is I don't see
mastery.
Not just mastery of ever not doing it.
Say that again.
Are there? Please. It seems like it's a continual building upon.
Meaning?
So there, were there. That I would never get to a point where I would not do it in some way. Like a particular exercise. Yes.
In other words, now I hear those words, right? Let's say V5 dominant seven. Mark says, I want to be Mr. V5 because I just like the sound.
Mm-hmm.
All week long, you only commit to doing one thing, to getting one key at a time wired.
Right.
So if the whole week is F7, the next week when you commit to say A7, if you're doing flat 7 or D7, some key on a belt, you do a modest amount of review. If it takes 2 weeks for each key, then that's what it takes.
Yeah, right.
Because eventually you go, you know what, this took so much longer than I hoped it would, but nature knows what she's doing with me, man. I guess I didn't earn the right last time to be Mozart and just do it once and you have it forever. I mean, how many are
those? Is there stuff, I guess what I'm saying, and there is stuff that you hold on much, you'll hold on to it, huh?
This thing is true in this area of music. If you use it, you will not lose it. If you don't, you still won't lose it if you dug it into your head real nice and deeply. But eventually, periodically, every few months, years, for something you can go years without using if you've got it
and
real
you
strong.
And you can pull it out. Then, like, let's say these seven basic qualities, I've been doing V2, V4, V5 every day since you gave them to me in
December.
How many
keys?
Now it's 3 keys a day, but before it was like a key a day.
A key a day is still a great way. When we talk about the conveyor belt, that's if you can afford that emotionally, where you say, I've earned the right. If you don't feel that sometimes, where you say, I just don't have D down well enough today. I just can't see D minor 7 flat 5.
Don't be so structured, in other words, you're saying. Feel with gut feelings, too.
I could. That's fair. If you said to me, today, Ted, play F, all 7 basic qualities, V6, with a modest speed, I don't know if I can do it. I might need a day of maintenance.
Right, okay.
Then if you said, choose 2 more keys and do it, I mean, after a week, I could be in there. But it's hard to have everything at a fine edge, which means that you will use the stuff you love the most.
Right.
The stuff that I play
I'm
the most.
It.
If you like, I dig this so much, but I don't get a chance to use it in the kinds of phrases that I want to hear coming out of my body as much as I do. I like hearing those connected chord phrases.
Right.
If I have to choose, but I sure like the slow ones too. Mm-hmm. So I hang on. I'm using 1 chord as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I hang on to these larger ones just so I can play some slow ones.
Right.
You'll draw your own priorities. I practice this stuff a few times a year to reacquaint myself. 1/5 change, for instance. Sometimes I go, man, you could write out a whole series of 10 pages for the students on this. Why don't you do it? And I go, because then they'll be walking around the planet, will be filled with guys going one minor, 5, in every conceivable variation.
Right.
And they won't even be acquainted with
not what music.
It is music, but it's overkill for certain things. If a guy, it's hard to know what not to write. There's so much one can write.
I'm just mainly saying, okay.
To yourself, too.
For like, for improvisation, which I do a lot of, I love progressions and working with, inversions and chord sounds like the 2/5 thing, like West. What other ones? The one page of progressions you gave me, I use all the time. Like that sharp 4 half diminished to the 5/11. I'm getting now where I'll whip that in wherever I can.
So you want more studies like that?
Yeah, I love it.
So show me that page again, please.
It's, I'll set this down someplace.
Yeah, I'll take it from you. You can move this out. We don't need this anymore. And we can lay the guitar down right where we want.
Beautiful. Let me see if I got it.
But mainly, like, and then, like, you showed me that, got it. Well, and I think a lot of it, Ted, in some ways, I could, if I want to be rigorously honest, I could do myself. I mean, I want more progressions than put on, like, Dr. John or Ray Charles and write out all the progressions on the album.
That's one great way.
This is what you did right here.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you.
Like,
remember, this was months and months ago.
Here it is. Another one you gave me I love is that one altered 3-4, one diminish, one 3 in first inversion, 6. Way.
That's a good one.
Kill.
Yeah, that's Black Storefront Time.
Man, I love it. Or I love, I've been going lately like in a blues, going, hitting that 4 minor kills me, takes me to another planet.
It is a nice sound. All right, well, knowing that you're that sensitive to color, I think that it behooves me to write you some more things like that.
That would be way cool.
It won't disturb my metabolic rate for the rest of the evening.
Let's see. Okay, can I whip through some of these?
Yeah, do the whip
real
man.
Quick one. Voice switching exercise. I did diatonic. I started back cycling.
Which voicing groups did you do?
I did. Started out with V4. From V4, I went into V4 took me to V2.
I'm with you.
And it also took me to V5.
V6 as well.
Okay, wait a second here. And then maybe I didn't try V6, but then I took V2. V2 took me to V1. And
yeah,
V3.
That's right. Yes. Generally, the neighbor ones take them to
the neighbors.
Like here's V4.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to take you to V6 that way.
I really liked doing V2, swapping root and third, going to V1. I'm learning I love V1, and I haven't spent any much time there.
Swapping root and three, a diatonic system.
Right. Well, yeah, that on those set of strings, I mean the middle set of strings.
Mm-hmm. Let's try one of these.
Yeah, I like that.
Pretty sound. Yeah, sometimes you'll hear Bach use a chromatic note instead. It'll sneak in. You know, once you have your framework, you'll start to hear if you're in the mood desirous of, instead of.
Real broke happening, I think, is where it goes. V2 to V4, swapping to third and fifth. V2, third and.
That's very broke.
Yeah. Digging it. What about variations on this? Like, okay, I also
variations because he's memorized all these patterns. You've memorized all this.
Diet by doing back cycling. I'm also one thing I started
what
doing.
What does that mean? You're doing.
I'm doing like 1-4-7-3-6-2-5-1. I'll go diatonically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Show me, please.
Okay, I might go. Let's say we're in A. So we might. Thank you.